Hey, good evening, and welcome to the Uptown Parlay Podcast. Now your host, Ace.
I'm going to recap our best bets before we get into the playoffs. There's only six games and Super Wild Card Weekend. I finished in first, surprisingly.
Yeah, because you keep
year.
Picking those easy teams. You know, we need
my
to eliminate
first year,
that next
this
year.
This is our fourth year doing this. My first year, I won 54 wins, 37 losses, 59%. Ant and Malik tied with 49 wins and 42 losses, 54%. So if you've been
because we actually pick real teams.
If you've been following us all year, hey, the Chief wins still count. If you've been following us all year, you made
I'll take
money.
I'll take the team that's going to beat the smack out of Carolina as my best bet of the week.
Honestly, listen, if you wanted to survive in a survivor pool and you just picked against Carolina every week,
I'm trying to get the people,
Patriots, chances are you won your survivor pool. I can tell you
I'm
that.
I'm trying to get people paid off of real team things, not off of something that, you know, some Joe Schmo quick guy in the street can pick.
Much like Dominic Toretto said in those movies, it doesn't matter if you win by an inch or a mile. It doesn't matter if you win by an inch or a mile.
You call it Fantasy Fast and Furious quotes.
Fast and Furious. Only on this show.
Correct. We're going to go into the playoffs games. Good Lord.
Playoffs?
Yeah. Cleveland at Houston. Houston is the underdog at home, getting 2.5 points. The over-under is 44.5. One of the few games that's going to be played in warm weather. And who do you got?
Well, Houston's the only reason they're in the, as far as the home game, is because they're in the weak division. Sorry to say. I'm going to go with the Browns on this one. Joe Flacco has more experience. They got a better team overall. In my opinion, Houston is making good strides from being a bad team last year to being one of the teams in the playoffs. I can see the trajectory going up. They're going to be even better team next year. But this year, I'm going to go with Browns. I'm taking it under.
I am going with the Houston Texans.
Oh, we have any locks this week?
There's only six games. If you want to have a lock, you can.
Maybe like three locks or something like that?
We'll go with three. Best out of three. I'm going with Houston. I'm going the other way on this. I think it's going to be a higher scoring game. And I think because C.J. Stroud can look at the defense and read the defense well, I think they're also going to be able to get really good pressure on Joe Flacco, and he's going to be running for his life. I don't have faith in the Cleveland offensive line. And they're not going to be able to run the ball. And they have just as good pass. Well, aside from Myles Garrett, who is superhuman, they have almost as good as pass rushers as Cleveland. I'll say that. And they have better defensive backs. Go ahead, Malik.
Oh, man. No, it's funny. Joe Flacco running for his life. That's like
Jason senior Whitlock citizen trying to run.
Jason Whitlock not going to the refrigerator.
Jason Whitlock on a diet.
it's like oh, it's hilarious. It just doesn't happen. Anyhow, I find it interesting. So it's Cleveland is -2 right now, that MGM line. I find it interesting that it seems like all of the sharp money in Vegas is going towards Cleveland.
Yeah.
And like everybody's riding this Joe Flacco wave.
Well, the defense is number one in the league. So,
yeah. And this January Joe Flacco thing is so funny. Look, you know what it is? I think this game gets really close. I'm gonna go with Anthony here. I'm gonna pick Cleveland because I genuinely want to see Joe Flacco against the Ravens next week. Like, I want to see that game.
You want to see that game?
That would be the matchup, right? That's the because they're 3-6. So, because I'm pretty sure Buffalo's gonna pound town on the Steelers. But anyway,
I'm still getting over this January Joe. What happened to Joe Cool?
No, it was January. I've been hearing January Joe
because he went on the run in Baltimore in January, man. Yeah, you remember them three games?
Yeah,
that was a miracle. That was a miracle.
But yeah, I'll go with Cleveland. I think that, you know, they're peaking at the right time. Houston has been a great story, and I think Ace, you and I didn't both picked Indy in that game last week.
Yes, we did.
We believed that Indy was gonna.
No, I took Houston because I said Houston has a better quarterback.
Yes, you did.
I could have sworn I was the only one that took Houston.
Yeah, no, that you guys both did take Houston.
That's I followed you. I took Houston. I didn't lock it in, but I took Houston.
But I think the Texans are a great story. But I think Cleveland's defense is the real deal. We'll travel and we'll get there. And because we're not playing in bad weather situations, Flacco is going to be able to just stand back there and sling it. If he gets any protection back there, and I think the protection is going to come in the form of the running game being formidable enough to keep the Houston Texans pass rush off of him. If he gets enough room back there, he's going to air it out. And he's got some good targets. He's got some good receivers, to throw the ball to. So I'm going to roll with Cleveland and the under in this game. So I think that the Cleveland's defense is definitely going to,
44?
Be on their task. Yeah. Yeah. Right. I like this 27-13, something like that.
27-13. All right. Miami at Kansas City, exclusively streaming on Peacock. Kansas City is favored by 4 points. The over-under is 44. Ants, who do you got?
I got KC winning on the cock on this one. KC's definitely going to win that. Hey, I'm going to take KC the over. What the hell? I'm talking about Peacock, the Peacock Network.
Okay.
You didn't say that. You said KC on the cock. I don't know
what the hell that means.
Oh, man,
pause.
We are not doing that.
I'm not doing this today with you. Pause. Casey's winning. I was following along with you to say because you talk about Peacock Network. Anyway, I got Casey. Okay, we editing that part out.
No, we not. I stayed in the show. I don't know.
I did not say. Anyway, I'm taking Casey and I'm taking the whole for this one. I'm done.
All right. Fair. You sound done.
Wow.
Woo! Miami, it's going to be -0 in this game. I don't know how that's possible, but it's going to be -0.
That's my first lock of the week.
Revenge game for Tyreek Hill. I'm betting on Tua. Kansas City's a little soft against the run. This game is going to call for more running. Kansas City has one healthy running back, basically, and that's my guy from New Jersey, Isaiah Pacheco. Shout out to Rutgers. But they're not going to be winning in this one. Stonehands receivers are going to let them down. Unless Kadarius Toney somehow turns it around and becomes the Kadarius Toney that helped them in the Super Bowl, I don't see how this works out for them.
They got Mecole Hardman. They'd be good.
Yeah, okay. MVS is out there running wind sprints, not even catching any passes. I don't know what he's doing. And Travis Kelce can't catch everything. The only thing that Kansas City has going for them is that basically all of Miami's linebackers are hurt. Hopefully Van Ginkle can come back. They got Jason Pierre-Paul to pass rush. And they got a good defensive tackle.
That in the cold weather, that's all they need.
So running with A-Chan, running with Mostert, they'll be solid. I'm taking the Dolphins. Who you got, Malik?
And that's two games in a row. Me and Ace is the opposite.
Yeah, you are. And Ace just made a great point. It's going to be -2 degrees there. The last time that Tua hasn't won a game in under 50 degree weather yet in his pro career.
Who tracks
him? So, and he hasn't beaten a real team this week.
How many games in negative degrees has Patrick Mahomes won?
No. Under 50. It's not under 50. Okay, we're talking. We're not even talking about
outside that day.
And when was the last time the Dolphins actually beat a real team this year?
Oh, well, I don't know.
Dallas. That's probably the
I'd also like to point out that the Kansas City Chiefs lost to the Las Vegas Raiders.
Okay. That was then. This is the playoffs.
Aren't they a divisional team?
Yeah.
That makes more sense.
Yeah. I just happened to look this up. Dolphin meat is a delicacy in Japan. They actually sell dolphin meat. So there's going to be a new shipment coming in to Japan in the form of, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Tua Tagovailoa, and that entire team. I can't wait to see the episode of Hard Knocks, in-season Hard Knocks, when the Dolphins lose, because they're going to lose.
Well, that's going to be a great episode.
They're going to lose big.
I'm putting that on the DVR.
Does that carry into the playoffs if they make it to the playoffs?
It does.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't know that. That's going to be cool, actually. I'm going to enjoy watching it.
I actually don't think this has ever happened before.
No, because the other two teams they picked was trash.
They picked the Colts with and Carson Wentz, Arizona.
Which was a bad idea. Yeah.
And the Cardinals after after Kyler Murray.
No, it was right before. He played one game, and then he got hurt, and then,
Yeah, I'm just saying like that, the year he shredded his knee. So, yeah. You know, they were like fighting for a playoff spot and didn't make it. So yeah, man, it's to me, this is going to be, it's going to be pretty, pretty bad here. I don't agree. I think
you don't think best Miami play, has a chance.
I think they have a chance. I think the best bet is the under. I think the best bet is the under for me. I don't think this game is going over the 44 at all.
You don't despite the fact that these points to be scored.
They have no Casey's choice.
Casey's got a good defense. And they're going to try to keep the game low scoring just in general. And Miami's has not proven to me that they can score against good teams, good defenses on the road.
All right.
I'll say this, Ace. You'll see more shots of Taylor Swift than you're going to see more point of Miami get points.
I don't think she's going to be at the game. She's a concert.
She'll be there.
Next up, we got Pittsburgh Steelers at the Buffalo Bills. The Steelers are getting 10 whole points. That's how confident they are that they're going to be bad. Malik pointed out that there's going to be 40-mile-an-hour wind gusts in what is also known as Windy Buffalo, which is essentially the Midwest. It is going to be what, -8?
Well, 20 is the actual temperature that's being
20? It's going to be 20 wind, there, but with -2 in Kansas City? How's that work?
With wind gusts, you know, with wind chills, it's probably going to be lower.
They're like 3 miles from Canada. That's amazing. Okay. And
you act like 20 is hot, sir.
In Buffalo, it's just regular January. That's just January. I don't know. I lived there for a little bit. It's just January. And then that's nothing new. 30 would be like regular. Pittsburgh is getting 10 points. Ant, who do you got?
I'm taking -10 with the Bills. The Bills is definitely going to win this. And they're going to... Yeah, take it to -10.
Over under is 36.5.
Take it to -10.
Okay.
I'm taking that and running to the bank with that. Bills is going to definitely win this game. Pittsburgh is congratulations, Mike Tomlin, for keeping that streak alive. But time to lose. This is Mason Rudolph here. Come on now.
It is Mason Rudolph. But don't underestimate Mason Rudolph. That's your first mistake. I'm taking the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm locking this in. The over-under is 36. The 40-mile-an-hour wind gusts are going to be a problem for the guy who has a big arm. They're going to have to run a lot. And Buffalo has gotten much, much better at that. But not being able to throw deep passes is going to affect their offense a lot more than it is the Steelers, who, up until they fired their offense coordinator, were getting 200 yards of offense a game like it was the 1950s.
Allen can run too, you know.
Huh?
Josh Allen can run too.
He's going to have to run all game.
I see this whole, I think this whole podcast is going to be Ace going to see what I pick and pick the opposite.
No, it's 10 points. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're going to beat them up. Listen, I'm not saying they're definitely going to win, but they're not going to lose by more than 10 points. I do not expect to cut on this game at 1 o'clock and then at 2 o'clock, the Bills are up 23-0. I don't expect that to happen. If the Bills win this game 7-6, I wouldn't be shocked. I do expect Pittsburgh to cover because they're getting 10 points. I cannot believe that you wouldn't take the 10 points. It's not that I think the Bills are going to lose, but if the Bills beat them 13 or 14, 6, that's a very plausible score. I'm going to bet everything I own on that under, though, because I do not expect more than 30 points to be scored this entire game.
I wouldn't do that. I'm telling you, Bills is going to score a lot of points on them.
Really? All right. Yeah, Malik.
In a game with this much wind and also snow being a potential factor as well in this game, you're going to trend towards the running games. And I think that if you're trending towards the running games, that trends in more in Pittsburgh's favor because they do have the combination of Najee Harris and Jalen Warren, decent offensive line, and it's going to, bode them well to keep the game low scoring and keep the game manageable and low scoring and, not let Josh Allen just stand back there and shred you, especially because you don't have your number one pass rusher in TJ Watt. So I think to give any playoff team 10 points is just really, really, you know, kind of disrespectful. And I'm going to respect Mike Tomlin enough to say that he can cover a 10-point spread, even on the road, with his Pittsburgh team. And so I think this one goes to the Bills, but I think they win the game 13-6, something along those lines. And the Steelers never look like they're going to win, but look like they'll cover. And so I'll take the Steelers and the under as well.
I think that's fair. That's a sensible pick. It's just too many points. It's just too many points, man. I don't think if Pittsburgh wins, that would be the biggest shock of the weekend to me. That would be Pittsburgh beating Buffalo in Buffalo would be more shocking than Tampa Bay beating Philadelphia at home to me. Next up, we got Green Bay at Dallas. And who do you got? Dallas is favored by 7. Over under is 50, which is nuts.
Well, I kind of gave it away earlier. I'm going to take Dallas. I'm taking them under in this one. I just see them quite – they're going to win this game, of course, make everybody all happy, go lucky. The next week, they're going to get their behind stomped, their mud hole stomped in their behinds. But anyway, that's what I'm going for is Dallas and under. This is going to be my second lock of the week.
I agree with that. I think Green Bay is overmatched. Dallas is going to get after them. They are undefeated at home. They are 8-0. It's about to be 9-0. They're going to beat the brakes off of Green Bay. They're going to jump on them quick, and they're not going to let them up. Dallas, lock it in. And I would also lock in the over. They're going to beat them the same way they beat the Giants the first game of the season. 45-10. Calling them a shot on the score. Go ahead, Malik.
Yeah, this is a triple lock, which I don't think we did many of those during the course of the season. This one feels really, really chalky. Feels like Dallas has the edge in pretty much every category, but most importantly, experience. Green Bay is... It's definitely the youngest team in the playoffs. It's one of the youngest teams in the NFL, if not the youngest team in the NFL. And this is a great story for them, great opportunity for them to, you know, measure themselves against the best, you know, the best of the best in the conference. But yeah, 7 points is more than enough to lay in this one. I think they win. I think Dallas wins this by at least 10, if not more. So yeah, I take Dallas, lay those 7. And locking this in as well. So Dallas and the over as well.
The LA Rams at the Detroit Lions. Double revenge game. Stafford and Goff.
I prefer to go last on this one, Ace.
Oh, you will. You guys go first, please. Yeah. Ant, go ahead. Oh, spread is 3 points. Detroit is favored at home by 3 points. The over under is the largest of the week. 51.5 points.
I hated to say this, but I was going back and forth on this throughout today at the end. But I'm just going to go with the more experienced team. I'm going to take the Rams and the over in this one. I think Lions season is going to be over this week. I hate to say this. It's too much on here. They got the experience of the Super Bowl team. I'm hope praying for the opposite, but my brain is just scratched in the back of my head right now. Saying take the Rams and take the over, but it could be a flip coin. It could go either way.
I hear you, but I'm taking the Detroit Lions. One, they're at home. Two, they have a better offensive line. And three, their secondary is better than the Rams. The Rams lost the game to Baltimore that they should have won. I get that they were on the road. They were able to keep up with them offensively. But they just kept giving up too many points. And I see them doing that again in this game. I get why the over-under is super high. But I expect Detroit to beat the hell out of the Rams. Stafford is going to get retired by Detroit on that field. He is not walking off that field a whole person. Emily.
Wow. Woo! Wow, yes, I should have had you go last.
I'm just saying, I'm not here for it. Their line is like is not good. It's really not.
It's funny how the narrative about Detroit's defense has been like, oh, they're trash and they're not good, and Matt Stafford is gonna tear this team up. if I remember correctly, Detroit Lions went into the Dallas Cowboys stadium, into AT&T Stadium 2 weeks ago and held that Cowboys team to 20 points. A Cowboys team which has the second ranked offense in the entire NFL going into that game. So to me, the Lions defense is a little bit underrated. That's not to say that the Rams aren't a good offense. The Rams have a very good offense. But I have a question for you, Ace. The Detroit Lions have five losses this season. They've been 12-5 in the season. The five quarterbacks that they lost to are in order. Well, not in order, but just tell me.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott.
Okay.
Lamar Jackson.
Okay.
Jordan Love.
Yeah.
Justin Fields.
Pretty good quarterback.
And Geno Smith.
Excellent.
What do these five quarterbacks have in common?
They're all black.
Yeah, I was about to say they're black.
That is true. That is true.
I don't think that's what you were going for.
That's not what I was going for.
They can all run.
Yes.
Except Geno. They can all run. Geno can't but really run that well.
Geno's athletic.
He can run if he wanted to. He just don't want to.
Are you calling Geno Smith sneaky athletic, Malik? Is that what you're trying to say? He's sneaky.
I'll say it because Geno. The thing is that when Geno was with the Jets, he always forced himself to stay there. He didn't want to run.
Geno Smith is sneaky athletic.
The thing is, it's not even that. Geno will run if you. Yeah. The thing that has bothered me about I've watched every Lions game this year so far this year. The thing that's bothered me the most about my Lions is. When they get pressure, the second level tends to lose contain, tends right. to give open space to quarterbacks to run up into. And when you have a quarterback that can run,
yeah,
and Geno can run, they can exploit that. They can take advantage of that. Field. They'll take that middle of the field and they'll take it and they'll get chunks. It's not like they'll get seven. They'll get 15 yards, 25 yards, extend plays. And this is where the defense starts to crumble and starts to, you know, cause problems for itself.
Gotcha.
Matt Stafford, I know Matt Stafford's going to stand in that pocket and he's going to try to deliver passes. I think that the Detroit Lions defense picks off Stafford at least once, gives their offense an opportunity to win that game in a close, hard-fought battle. And they win by 5 to 6 points. That's why I'm rolling with the Lions. Solely, I think that the nostalgia and the story, I think that's all for ESPN. That's all for NFL Network. That's all for that. When you get down to the brass tacks and you get down to the game and the way that this game is going to be played, if Detroit can get some pressure on the quarterback, if Detroit can get some pressure on that offensive line, which I think that they can, it's a young offensive line over there in LA, mm-hmm. and get some pressure on that offensive line, and force Stafford to make a couple of mistakes throwing that football, they can give themselves an opportunity, give themselves some short fields, and put the Rams defense back on its heels. And that will give them the win. I think this is going to go back and forth. I think this could absolutely look like the Saints game from a few weeks ago, where the Lions jumped out to a quick lead and the Saints found their way back and it got really, really close and really, really dicey towards the end. I think it could be the same thing. And I think the Lions win. Similar score, 33-27.
Is C.J. Gardner-Johnson back for this game?
He is. Yeah, he was back. He was back last week.
Is Jameson Williams healthy for this game?
J-Mo is playing. Sam Laporta, who hyperextended his knee last week against Minnesota, they're still up in the air about whether or not he's going to play, but he did practice today. He was out there practicing today. And so, you know, they're going to – Dan Campbell said by tomorrow – or Friday afternoon, they'll know more about his prognosis. So,
all right, we're recording this on Thursday. And in fairness to the Lions, they do get to play Sunday night, so they get a little bit of extra time for him to heal. So hopefully he's taking some ice baths, doing what he can do, getting on the treatment he can. And last but not least, we have the Philadelphia Eagles at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Probably... you know, underrated game. Two teams that two people think are trending in the wrong direction. Tampa beat the worst team in the NFL to get into the playoffs. 9-0. It was a pretty terrible game to watch, although I did bet on Tampa and I won. So I'll take that. Philadelphia is the favorite by 3 points. The over-under is 43.5. And who do you got?
Just for, what was our sponsor's name again? Sheets and Giggles?
They haven't sponsored us in a while, actually, but promo code UPTOWN for 20% off all your sheets needs. Yeah. Sheets and Giggles.
Yeah, don't worry. They'll be sponsors again after this one. Just for Sheets and Giggles, I'm going to pick Tampa Bay, and I'm picking the under, and this is going to be my last pick, my last lock of the week. This is going to be my upset of the week. We need to have one, and this will be it.
You got Tampa. All right. Being as Tampa is the higher seed, I think the real upset is Philadelphia winning here. Philadelphia hasn't been playing very well for the past 3 weeks.
Either way, Philadelphia is expected because they was in the Super Bowl last year.
Fair. It's all about who's going to be healthy, and I think DeAndre Swift is healthy. Rashad White got hurt. He's their best running back on Tampa. If they can't run the ball, they're in real trouble. I think Philadelphia, both teams from the state of Pennsylvania will be advancing this week. Pittsburgh's going to advance, and Philadelphia's going to advance. Will it be an all-Pennsylvania Super Bowl? No. Both of these teams are going to lose in the divisional round, but they will both get to the divisional round. Give me Philadelphia, Jalen Hurts. They're going to push their way to a victory. Devonta Smith, I believe, is going to play. They sat out last week. Hopefully, A.J. Brown is healthy enough to go. But just on the strength of DeAndre Swift and that offensive line, I think if they focus on running the ball, they should be able to win this game. And they just need to double-team the ageless wonder that is Mike Evans. If they can stop him, they'll be all right. Go ahead, Malik.
Is that your lock, Ace? Are you locking in Philly?
Oh, no, I'm locking in Detroit. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Detroit's beating shit out of Matt Stafford. I think I made that.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure. I'm rolling with you, Ant. I'm going to roll with Tampa here. It's what before I give my analysis. Shout out to, I believe it was Shannon Sharp this week that suggested that when someone one of the commentators on ESPN was talking about how Philadelphia has been having problems scoring the football over the course of these last few weeks, and you know they can't seem to get it done through the air and whatever. And Shannon made the suggestion that Philly just lines up in the tush push all every snap and just runs that shit the entire game. And they'll probably do better offensively, just 1 yard at a time. That shit was hilarious. I laughed about 10 minutes on that one. I'm picking Tampa because they're the home dog here. They're getting 3 points. I think this is a really close game. I think this is a field goal game. At the very, very least, weather's not going to be a problem. The last time these two teams played, Philly won 25-11, which was in week 3 of the season. And they were a much more complete, much more dominant team. Much more complete, much more dominant team at that point than they are now. They're reeling a little bit, and I think they're going to need this. You know, they need this win just to kind of right the ship and get things right. I think they could win, and I think they probably should win, but I think Tampa's going to give them everything that they can handle in this. I could easily see this being a 24-22, 24-21 type of game and run right down to the wire. So if anything, I'd say this is a push. I would love to get a hook on this. Like, I would love for it to be Tampa +3.5, but Tampa +3, I'll still take the points here and expect a push one way or the other. But, you know, we could absolutely see Tampa win this game. So
Tampa Bay,
I'll take Tampa in the
9 points at home against the Carolina Panthers. And you're telling me they're going to beat the Eagles.
The Eagles got their asses kicked by the Giants. They scored 10 points against the Giants.
Yes. Yes. And that's still more points than the other team scored.
Yeah, they only needed 9. What do you want me to say? Carol, you know, they didn't play hard.
You called it Fast and Furious earlier.
Yeah.
Just rehash that right back to yourself.
Fair enough. All right. That's what we're going to do. Okay. And on that note, we are in our shout-outs. Anthony, Ant, Antonio, right. Do you have any shout-outs?
Yeah, I got some shout outs. Even though I didn't pick them this week or whatever, and according to the coach, shout out to Mike Tomlin. But he kept the streak alive. And also, Mike Tomlin is now the longest tenure coach in the NFL. Out of every single coach, and I think he's going to be there next year, the year afterwards or whatever. Definitely a great coach. I wish he was on my team. I wish he was my coach. Shout outs to him. Shout outs also to these three guys in a row. They all parted ways at certain time periods, but it was within 24 hours at 2:20 p.m. Pete Carroll stepped away, parted ways with Seattle. 7:39 p.m. Nick Saban retired on a Wednesday. On the same Wednesday, then on Thursday, the next day, 11:59 a.m. Bill Belichick parted ways with himself. So shout out to those three, but special shout outs I had to put them to the side to Bill Belichick. Glad you're out of the division. Fuck out, you tortured us for 20 years, and us Jets fans for 20 years, and I'm not pissed off with you for your championships or whatever. I still hold a grudge with the fucking napkin BS quitting on a damn napkin. Fuck you, and I'm glad you're gone, so shout out to you. And, oh yeah, fuck you, Sean Payton, too. But anyway, shout out, that's my shout out of this week.
Wow, way to show respect to your opponents. I appreciate the
that's how you do.
Yeah.
That shows a lot of respect right there.
It's beautiful. It brought a tear to my eye.
And I hope the Bills lose this week.
Okay. All right. Well, go Dolphins. Shout out to Brian Gumbel. Shout out to Brian Gumbel and the crew from Real Sports. After 29 years, they did their final show in December. I hope y'all get a chance to check it out if you watch good TV. It was probably the last real like sports investigative show that they have that's left that's any good. They've kind of watered down Inside the NFL, which is on the CW now. I figured that out halfway through the season. Started watching that with Ryan Clark, one of my favorite media personalities. I used to play in the NFL. So shout out to Real Sports, Brian Gumbel, and all the people that were there, and Armin Katayan, and I can't remember that dude's name who they kept sending to all the people who were doing all the adventure sports, but I love that show. I used to watch all the time. It was a dope show. Shout out to my Baltimore Ravens. I want y'all to win the Super Bowl this year. A lot of pressure on Lamar, but y'all got him here. He's healthy. Everybody said, don't pay that man his money. I said, pay that man his money. You did, and guess where you are? You're the number one seed in the NFL, in the AFC. And you've beaten all the best teams to get there. Proving it over and over and over again. So shout out to them. Shout out to Stephen A. Smith for finally airing out that fat bastard, Jason Whitlock. I'm glad somebody finally spoke on it. Didn't like that guy. Always thought he was a moron. And the first thing that let me know how dumb he was when he said, if Serena Williams was in better shape, she'd win more. I don't know a lot about tennis, but he said that about 10, 12 years into her career. And she was at that point halfway to being the winningest female tennis player in the history of the sport.
This is coming from a guy who doesn't know nothing about being in shape.
Who's built like a goddamn baked potato. Okay? But he's going to tell somebody else about being in shape in a sport that he never played because he was an offensive lineman at Ball State. And shout out to the 2008 Buffalo Bulls who beat Ball State, an undefeated team, to stop them from winning the MAC championship as I'm on this roll. So shout out to them too. And another one of my shout outs, shout out to OG Anunoby, my new favorite Nick. You're making this team better. Your defense and your shooting is improving, and I appreciate that. Even though they lost tonight, I don't give a shit. They better. My Knicks are up. That's my irrational fandom, and I appreciate that. Shout out to Pete Carroll, the winningest coach all time in the history of the Seahawks. The only head coach of that team, of all the eight, that has 137 wins. The highest winning percentage and the only Super Bowl that they've won in their history. So shout out to him. They pushed out all the old guys. But it's a changing of the times. And much like, you know, all of those older politicians who are hanging on too long, maybe you need to give it up too, like these old head coaches. Belichick left, Pete Carroll left, what's his name left. You don't have to die on the job. You know what I'm saying? Like, you are allowed to quit. You know, there's things called cruises. They kind of make them for old people. Maybe you should try one. I heard it's really nice. You go down to the Caribbean. You know, you can let your feet rest in some water. It's kind of nice. It's beautiful. You know, I'm just saying. Take advantage of that. Go see your grandkids. You know, do something. Go retire. Sit on the golf course, drink some Tom Collins's and some Arnold Palmer's. But watch the Masters in May or some shit. I don't know what y'all do. And last and not least, shout out to the beating that they put down today on the Portland Trailblazers, who were tanking so hard they lost by 63 points, 139 to 77. And somehow still the game was under the over-under of 236 points. If not trying was a skill, it would be the Trailblazers' only skill. So shout out to them for trying the least today. Go ahead, Malik.
Yeah, when I saw that number, I was like, I was blown away. That was pretty crazy. You said what's his name? But I want to give a formal shout out to Nick Saban for
The king of college football, yeah.
his retirement. The way you felt about Bill Belichick over the years, that's how I felt about Nick Saban over the years.
Yeah, that's why I had to just let you speak on it.
He's routinely ruined the SEC. Not just for LSU, but for pretty much every team in the SEC for the last 17 seasons. While he was there, seemed like every year they were in the national championship, college playoff. They were 12-1, 13-0. Even if they didn't have the greatest talent on one side of the ball, they had the greatest talent on the other side of the ball. He was great at recruiting. He was great at coaching. He was great at mentoring. He's just a great, great coach. And I know I talked a lot of trash about him over the years. I know I called him Nick Satan. And that was just me being an LSU fan and hating. Great quarterback. And from what everything I hear, great man as well. So shout out to Nick Saban. Great career. I don't know if he's done for good. Maybe he's just taking a year or taking a couple years off, and maybe he'll try to come back or in some other capacity. But I hope he's done, because I hope he finds some other thing to enjoy and to make him happy and to make him to satisfy him over the course of the rest of his life. So,
That cruise that Ace was
and
talking
he's
about.
yeah, and he's got plenty of money to enjoy it. Ace kind of went halfway on this, but I'm gonna go all the way. Shout out to both Stephen A. Smith and Jason Whitlock.
Don't shout out
Here's
to
the
Jason
thing.
Whitlock. Fuck
No,
that.
here's the thing. I know I can't stand him. I can't stand him at all. I don't think the thing that I love about Jason Whitlock talking, Jason Whitlock just looks like when you ever like see somebody and you just know I'm not gonna like that guy. Like I'm just not gonna like that guy. I don't even know him. He hasn't even spoken, but he just has that look. He's just a punchable face. He has that look like you just don't like the guy. That's what Jason Whitlock looks like to me. I see him and I just know that I'm just not gonna like you. But in a week of me stress eating about my Detroit Lions playoff, being in the playoffs for the first time in 30 years, and stressing over the fact that and me potentially thinking very, very, very hard about how I could potentially weasel my way out of going to brunch with my wife on Sunday if that game had been scheduled for early in the daytime, and potentially
That would be
ruining
so
my
fun.
marriage. Like I was honestly thinking about all of these things, all of these possibilities. The beef, the slap battle between these two has been absolutely incredible. It's been so much fun. It's been so fun to hear these two guys, spew barbs at each other, and one calling the other Stephen A. Myth. Beautiful. That's great. Okay, Stephen A. Myth is hilarious to me. Okay. Stephen A. calling Jason Whitlock fat bastard, which to my understanding, like I why did we never thought of this? Like honestly speaking, why had nobody ever thought of just using that title for him? And then to top it all off, Stephen A. Smith during his rant, he name drops literally everybody from black sports media and asks them and says to them, ask them what do they think about him. and Jemele Hill gets online, and all these other people get online, and they pretty much say, you know what? Stephen A. Smith is right. Jason Whitlock is a total douchebag. And this just validates everything. So it's like, it's not just, it's literally, it's not just Stephen A. It's, and Jason Whitlock. It's Jemele Hill. It's Scoop Jackson. It's Michael Smith. It's Dan Le Batard. It's literally everybody who I liked over the years. They're all coming out saying, yep, that guy's a tool. And it just validates everything that I've thought about him. And you know who I'm questioning? You know who I'm really questioning in this point? Warren Sapp, because you still talk to that man. And I saw him he still rocks with them.
But buying Warren Sapp's lunches or something.
That makes me question you. That makes me question you. So, shout out to them for amusing me all week. I will be done with this come Sunday. I will not want to hear anything about this ever again. But at the very least for this week, I'm perfectly fine. That was great.
Yeah, you know you wouldn't see that Lions game, right? If it was on Sunday, you would not have seen it.
Ace and I would have told, look, honestly speaking, like I've told my wife this. I've loved this team longer than I've loved you. And I've told you this. And she admitted it. She's like, she gets it. She got it. But luckily, the game's at 8 o'clock. I'll be home.
It ain't a regular season.
Yeah, the Lions is trying to save your marriage.
It's not just a playoff game. It's a playoff game and in Detroit. And it hasn't happened since before we met, Ace. We've known each other 30 years.
Okay. Yeah, I know what Malik's feeling because I felt it for at least for 10 years. So I know he's even worse for him right now.
Was the last time you had a home game was 93 or 91?
93.
And Ace, you had a Super Bowl appearance, so you know you're good for a couple extra 20 years.
20 years, my ass. Stop it.
Yeah. Listen. And so in that realm, last but not least, shout out to the Detroit Lions and City of Detroit in general. The last
I know you checked.
I did. The last time I looked, it was like $600.
That's not crazy.
Oh, it's $45 this week for KC, though, because it's cold.
Who the hell's going?
10 degrees. Ain't nobody trying to go to that.
10.
Good seats. I'm sorry. You could get a high level seat for like $200 right now in Detroit, but $600 for the low levels. But shout out to my Lions. First hurdle covered. Now you have the opportunity. Low key, I told you guys this. Low key, I wanted to play the Rams. Didn't want to play Green Bay because we'd already played them twice this year. I don't like playing your division opponent three times. The third time playoff thing. It's just to me, it's a bit of a jinx.
And
so I wanted to play LA.
One final shout out. If Eric Bieniemy doesn't get a head coaching job, we know y'all bullshit. Okay. So all these teams out there talking about diversity, you want to hire the best person. This man made Sam Howell look like a decent quarterback
for 13. They already said in the news that he might end up going back to KC.
I'm just saying, this man needs a head coaching job. If you don't think he can get a head coach, if he can't get a head coaching job, what you're telling me is you hate offense. You hate
offense. I pretty much said Atlanta should hire him. I think Atlanta should give him the shot and give him that offense and see what he can do with Bijan Robinson and Kyle Pitts and Drake London and that team. Like, just get him a competent quarterback and let him work. He should be able to do some big things with that team. And they got a pretty good defense in Atlanta too.
He needs a legit shot. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. He proved it with Washington, with the fact that Washington's offense looked capable with that lack of talent that they had. So that's all I'm saying. We out.
Peace.
Sorry, Chris Stapps. Couldn't get you this week. Next week, man. We'll get you next week, Chris.
Celtics got blown out, though.